When you hear John 3:16, you can almost see the words scrawled across a billboard on I-95. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. It's one of my favorite verses. But John 3:16 does not look the same on a billboard when you include John 3:15, which is a reference to an obscure incident in the desert involving the Israelites and their encounters with poisonous snakes. John 3:15 is not good for the brand. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus says, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. The story in Numbers probably wouldn't have made it into the lectionary if it hadn't been mentioned in John 3:15. And it's ironic that the very passage in John's gospel, which asks us to believe in Jesus, cites one of the most unbelievable stories in the Old Testament. And here's the story that Jesus was referring to. God had liberated the Israelites from their oppressors in Egypt. God had astonishingly parted the Red Sea and brought them toward the Promised Land. And as their travels through the desert wore on, the realities of life in the desert began to wear on the Israelites. Babies were growing into toddlers. Grown-ups were starting to notice more gray hairs come in. And the oldest of them were worried that they might not even live to see the Promised Land. And then worse, their sense of the miraculous began to fade. They started to remember Egypt as the good old days. In the desert where they were, there was no meat or fish to eat as there had been when they were in Egypt. This is my favorite part. Note that the problem isn't that there's no food. The problem is that they don't like the food that they've been given. And anyone who spent any time around children might appreciate this verse. There's no food or water, and we detest this miserable food. Apparently, God was not impressed, and instead of expanding their menu, God gives the Israelites poisonous snakes. And so Moses intercedes, and God responds, but he doesn't remove the snakes. In this twist, God tells Moses to sculpt one of those exact poisonous snakes and mount it on a pole so that anyone who has been bitten by a poisonous snake would look to that bronze snake and be healed. And they do. God didn't take away the snakes, but instead God instructed the Israelites to stare at that thing that was threatening to kill them directly in order to be saved. So what ultimately heals the Israelites is a confession of their mistakes, followed by a confrontation of their worst fear. The mistake wasn't that they complained about the food as much as that the Israelites were imagining the past to be so much better than it really was, and had stopped believing that God was with them now. I think all of us have our own version of poisonous snakes. These are the things in our lives that inflict wounds on us. We millennials, sometimes we call it our stuff, you know, like we've all got our stuff. Our stuff meaning the things in our lives that are broken that we don't want to deal with. Like painful memories of the past, or things we've done or left undone that we would rather not think about, or broken relationships, that kind of thing. But if we don't confront our poisonous snakes or our stuff, you know, that they actively threaten our spiritual well-being. And it is unpleasant and usually downright scary to deal with snakes. And maybe the most frightening snake of all is the possibility that this whole Jesus thing just isn't true, and that one pull of a thread would just sort of unravel the whole thing. What if, for example, we don't believe in the words on the billboard? I think John 3:15, in that verse about the snakes, Jesus is openly acknowledging the inherent difficulty of belief. He's talking about it. Some Christian denominations put an extra emphasis on a certain definition of belief, as if it's like a singular, isolated virtue, something that's within our own control that can be obtained just by saying or thinking the right thing. So a symptom of this would be like John 3:16 being extracted from the rest of the Bible and put on a billboard and then saying, all who can accept this one sentence are inside the club, and that if you can't accept it, then you're an outsider. But the fact is that we don't necessarily control whether we believe. Belief itself comes as a gift. And if we presume that we control what we believe, it puts that whole emphasis of John 3:16 on us. And then we, like the Israelites, begin to forget that it's God who saves us. Our use of the word belief can sometimes be quite unrelated to the way that the earliest Christians who wrote about belief meant it. So we typically use the term belief to mean some sort of intellectual assent or like a series of logical thoughts, or a series of thoughts that would bring us to a logical conclusion. So a simple example would be, say, if I were to see you after the service at coffee hour and mention that it rained very hard in Durham yesterday, you would believe me, I hope, because it did. But it's a very different use of the word altogether when we read that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. For this type of belief, we need more than the weather report. We need God's grace, and we need a relationship with God. The English bishop, Tom Wright, thinks that the meaning of belief in John 3:16, that this is more analogous to falling in love than to thinking the right things about God. So it's a relationship. Taken with John 3:15, we see that belief requires a willingness to deal with our own snakes and then to turn our gaze upon Jesus lifted up on the cross. So even in the midst of the Israelites' failure and disappointment, in the midst of their mistakes, God provided for them. He healed them. But he did not let them off easily. The Israelites had to look at that very thing that was trying to kill them in order to be saved. John 3:15 encourages us to confront our deepest fears and then just trust. That's the hard part. Trust that Jesus will meet us there. We can live more fully as a people who are forgiven and healed and renewed if we face our own poisonous snakes, believing that God's love is transforming us, leading us into a richer, fuller life.